I was supposed to be having this stuff queued up, but you know, it'd be a lot of stuff going on. Here we go. Yeah. Good morning to you. Happy Friday. Welcome to Morning Teen Allegations. If you do not know who I am, my name is Bianca Goolsbee, but today you're going to call me Petty B. Okay. I also want to highlight my shirt. Okay. People lie, receipts don't. There is some merch on Teaching for the Culture. Definitely check that out. We're going to get started with the church announcements, okay? Because there's a lot of stuff going on. And I tell you. Okay. Let's go ahead and get started, amen. Well, let me see my notes. Good morning, peace and blessings. Good morning, Sore. Good morning. Let me tell you something, Terry. When I tell you the clap back was real, Terry know what I'm talking about. Y'all are showing out on Facebook. Anyway, okay, let me get it together. Church announcements. Okay, people lie, receipts don't. People lie, receipts don't. The focus today will be on Hillsborough County because I'm telling you, the drama just gets deeper and deeper, and the stuff is going to come to the light. I have some video receipts today, and I want you to buckle up because today's episode is titled Clap Back Season. Now, before I get started, I need to go ahead and play my disclaimer. So please pay attention. Okay. Don't come for me. People lie, receipts don't. I don't gossip. I just provide the receipts. Amen. Thank you, church members, as we have additional announcements and disclaimers that require your full attention. I report the news, so don't try me with the copyright. In addition, the views and opinions on Morning Teen Allegations belong to me. If you have any questions, bring your receipts so that we can talk. If you get froggy with me, don't expect me to go high and be the bigger person. I will clap back and sage later. God is still working on me. Thank you for your attention and govern yourselves accordingly. Amen.
Oh, no.
So, I'll just go ahead and just sage now. If you come for me, I will not be the bigger person. I will sage. And I will clap back. There's a lot of drama going on, but before we get to the drama, I got to talk about some good stuff at least because, oh gosh, this is just so draining. But so there was a principal that decided that they wanted to be a good citizen. And it was something that we were talking about on the Whole Child podcast. Let me go ahead and share that with you. So the principal, let me make sure y'all can see my screen. Yeah, there you go. All right. So the principal decided that he was going to actually assist the child and get to the root of what the child issue was. So there was a child where he was not in class and he was having a difficult time. It come to find out that he was very insecure about his hair. So the principal had a sit down with the eighth grade student and cut his hair, and he had such a new confidence about himself that he was able to go to class and be okay. This is the exact same thing that me and Kimberlyn were talking about on The Whole Child, where you have educators that will get upset with a child for wearing a hoodie and not realizing that there probably is something going on as to why they're wearing the hoodie in the first place, instead of just trying to say, oh, you're not complying with the rules, not at least having a conversation and trying to figure out what the root is. And so congratulations to this Black principal and this educator that is out here modeling what we're telling y'all. Like, we need to have culturally relevant people in our schools. We need to have more of them in our schools, and we need people to check their biases at the door when they're saying that they're going to serve all children. That's all I'm saying. Okay. So wonderful news there. The Sunshine Education Coalition, let me go ahead and load up their website so you can see the amazing stuff that they've been up to, because my goodness, they've had a week full, a month full of events. So let me go ahead and share my screen with you here. So the Sunshine Education Coalition has had a panel each week, and in celebration of Black History Month, they had the 28 days in the Black Youth Experience. And so these are the panels that, if you missed it, you can go back and watch it. It is also on Facebook. So please make sure you check out sunshineeducation.org. It is phenomenal. And I'm so glad that they have been instrumental in the work with the School to Prison Pipeline, which is something that I want to talk to you about a little bit today, because we had a meeting. Okay. Next thing that I want to share with you is about standardized assessments. Okay. Parents, please, 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 please have a plan for your child. Please contact your child's school and make sure that your child has a portfolio. Make sure your child has everything that they need to test the best that they can. There's the opt-out movement that is providing parents education on how to opt out. But unfortunately, there's a lot of political pressure to continue the standardized testing. And unfortunately, it's going to harm our children in our schools, especially the ones that have been underperforming for so long. And then there are state mandates that hold them accountable to achieving, but not pouring in the resources to help. But anyway, so please, 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 the standardized assessment is very, very important if you are in Florida, and it could have some really damaging impacts to your child. And I just want to say this, there's nobody that could say that they care about a child's mental health when we're forcing this standardized assessment. You do not care about our children's mental health at all. There's also questions that are circulating about the IB program and what's happening with that, and I'll get to that later in this journey, but I just want to let the district know, all districts, that eyes are on you. All right, so let me go ahead and change my background, because we need to pull out these receipts, okay? And so let me check the comments, because, you know, I haven't done that. Love the disclaimer. Thank you so much. Yeah, everyone got their coffee ready, because, yeah, I listen, we have to talk. We have to talk, and I have to get in my formation in order to do it. We're going to take a field trip today. There's some video clips that I want to share with y'all and give y'all the tea. Okay. So yeah, y'all buckle up. y'all in for a show. Y'all in for a show. And we're going to talk about the tea in Hillsborough County, because this is your tax dollars at work, and our children deserve better. So I'll be right back.
They don't last always.
This is why we need an audit. Because these books are not clean. People need to be held accountable. And stop playing these political games. Because our children deserve better at the end of the day. And we need people to be accountable, transparent, and operate in integrity. Lift y'all hands up in the church. Thank you, Lord.
because the truth out today. And now the district's exposed.
Ooh, y'all exposed. So let's go to class. I tell you what, these people out here playing. Whew. All right. My patrons knew about this first on Friday. Y'all just finding out about this, but yeah. So Dr. Michael Kemp, he works in the district. He was recruited. He is Addison Davis, one of his right-hand men. Well, he decided to submit his name to be the superintendent of Polk County Schools. So I want to share with you the website, okay? Because, you know, I just... People be lying. And when I clicked on his name on the website, it then sent me to this link. Now, this link is public knowledge. It is public information, and I'm going to share it with you. So here we go. Let's share the screen. Because he's trying to get out of Hillsboro because we have no money. We broke, cars maxed out, and we got bad credit. There you go. Okay. So he sends a letter to the search committee. About now. Okay, there we go. So having some internet issues there. All right. The devil be busy. So okay. Kemp sends this information as to why he feels. Wait, why this thing say? Okay. Ooh, the devil busy. Okay. I think it's okay. It got this like little symbol here, and I'm not really sure. You throwing me off on my game. Okay, there you go. All right, it's loading. Okay, thank you, Jesus. Okay, so Michael Kemp decided that he wanted to apply for this job, and he wanted to be the superintendent of Polk County Schools. So what I find interesting about this document, which I will definitely share the link with y'all because y'all can go read it yourself. You know, people lie, receipts don't. So let me add that in here. So we're going to go down here. Okay. So we look at the letters of recommendation, okay? I'm trying not to show too much because he got his whole resume in here, whatever. All right. So this is a letter on Hillsborough County letterhead. Well, not really because it don't have the board members on here. But anyway, this was a letter that was a recommendation for this position. And the person who submitted that recommendation was Kim Bays, which she just got here. So not really sure how you're going to write a letter of recommendation, but I guess based on their experience together in Clay County, maybe that's it. Okay. So then I continue with the letters, right? And then I see a new letter. And Michael, the chief of staff, submitted a letter. Now, from my understanding, Michael just got there too. So these new people are talking about how he would be a fabulous superintendent at Polk County Schools. Keep going. We got Steve Kona. Steve Kona decided that he wanted to write a recommendation letter for this individual. And meanwhile, we in a financial deficit. Y'all can read those receipts. And I can't make this stuff up. I just can't. Like, this is like, y'all have to understand, this is why I wear a wig and make this a reality TV show, because like, this is what's happening in the seventh largest school district in the nation. Okay. Now, meanwhile, you know, these people can write letters of recommendation, and yet the question on the floor is, where's our CFO? I don't know. I don't know where our CFO is. Got a lot of questions. So yeah, just want to let y'all know. So then here's an update. So obviously he applied. And so Polk County actually did an update on the 24th of February. So just a couple days ago, I want to share that update because you need to know, you know, well, all that work that he did for that application, where did it end up? Well, he did not make the list. So he's stuck in Hillsborough with the financial disaster that they're all involved in now. So yeah, good luck. Mm-hmm. I can't make it up. Okay, so next thing is a recap of yesterday's meeting. First of all, I just want to say thank y'all so much to school board member Jessica Vaughn, school board member Nadia Combs, and school board member Karen Perez. That has been one of the most productive meetings I have watched in Hillsborough County in a long time. And I went back. Like, I have watched school board meetings from years prior during this research. So to see that meeting that they had and it was productive and they had real conversations, I appreciate that. Thank you, Karen Perez, for highlighting the school to prison pipeline, which is one of the things that I was very vocal about. Organizations have been very vocal about for years, and the district has attempted to provide false narratives and not complete data. And I was glad that in the sunshine, Karen Perez had stated that the data that they were trying to push on them does not paint the picture, while they're trying to say that we are doing so good with declining our suspensions and all of that. They're not taking into account that we're not in full enrollment. So it's things like that that people have to be mindful of. And so I'm just thankful for that conversation. Now, I just want to say that all school board members were invited to attend. So if you have questions as to why your representative in Hillsborough County did not attend, I suggest you ask those folks because they work for you. So that goes for the chair, Lynn Gray. That goes for school board member in District 5, Sheik Washington. That goes for school board member in District 2, Dr. Stacy Hahn. And that goes for school board member Melissa Snively in District 4. These people that y'all decided to put into office by voting on them, they work for you. So you need to ask questions as to why they decided not to attend, knowing that that Tuesday board meeting was canceled in the manner in which it was. Now, of course, with this meeting, clapbacks had to occur because people want to play games. Okay. So I just have a couple of questions. Addison Davis, you mean to tell me that after all of those people that were in Rozac upstairs, you did not send at least one representative to represent the district to answer these board members' questions that rely on you to provide them the information? All those people that were upstairs working in Rozac, you mean to tell me not one person could have came down there to answer these board member questions? Okay. Then you had where y'all decided not to live stream this event. Okay. So you mean to tell me after all that money that the district has spent on broadcasting services and equipment and the staff to manage it, you couldn't have one person to hit the Facebook Live button on to at least record what was happening in that meeting? Nobody. So, of course, I come up with my tripod and I just walk. I'm going to show you how it came in now. Got my tripod, started setting it up, put it right in the middle, put my phone on there with my three cameras, and I had to hit the live button. It's on Teaching for the Culture because for some reason, it's so hard for the district to be transparent. I'm still stuck that at least one person from the district, representing the district, couldn't answer these board member questions. Not now. Nobody. These people getting paid six figures and nobody could come and answer any questions. Y'all that busy? Okay. I just want to say that the district decides that they want to create their own rules. Y'all don't want to go live on this, but then y'all want to create rules on Facebook. So the communication department, I guess, decided that they wanted to go to Facebook and update some rules. So let's share that with you. So the district says that you can't post any comments that fall into those categories, which I understand and I agree with. The second bullet was to refrain from mentioning people by name. And I thought that that was very odd to make that a rule. How would people know who to hold accountable if we're not naming names? Okay. Please ensure that your comments are appropriate and that they're relevant. Totally understand. Definitely needs to be relevant. There was people that was posting foolishness during the superintendent search because that was very politicized. And the people that was on there, I'm sure hasn't ever watched a board meeting ever in their life. The next one is to not post comments that contain links to other websites. Well, I don't know, maybe because there were, you know, article links from Teaching for the Culture that was posted in there to hold the district accountable for their lies with the receipts. I don't know. And then the last one about making comments about political parties. So these are the rules that they created for their Facebook, right? And they have monitored and have filtered out a lot of those comments. If you go to the board workshop, okay, that was on Tuesday morning, there were people in the comments that were saying, why am I limited to 100 characters? Why do I have to write 100 characters before I can post? And then what I posted is not been published. It just disappeared. These were the comments that were on that stream, and you can go to the Facebook page to go see it. Okay, I don't need to lie to you. So again, the district decides that they want to communicate the way that they want to communicate. They didn't use social media to tell people about that bomb threat. They didn't use social media to talk about the financial obstacles that we're having. They use the media to just talk about the good things in the district. But to educate on what's really happening, no. This is the same district that had lead in the water and tried to cover it up. And it took a whole investigation journal to expose it. Yeah. Okay. So school board is a very important role in a community. And we are going to share the duties of a school board member to make sure that everyone has a clear understanding what the duties and responsibilities are. We're going to set the foundation today. I've talked about it several times. I post about it several times, but we're going to talk about it today because there's a lot of stuff that I want to pull up in the light where I went digging from back 2014 digging. Okay. Cause the internet never forgets. So we're going to share that, but I want to share with you the five major responsibilities of a school board member. Okay. All right. So number one is to establish the vision. Number two, be aware of policies and implement those policies to improve the work. Number three is to hire and evaluate the district superintendent. Number four, adopt and maintain an annual budget. And number five, serve as leaders and representatives of the community. And to be advocates for students and the school district. Okay. So if you understand that, okay, if you could put amen in the comments, throw some hearts. So that lets me know that you understand the five duties of a school board member. Okay. Thank you. So we go to campaign promises because, you know, school board members, they come on the campaign and they say, hey, vote for me. I'm going to do X, Y, and Z, and we're going to do it together. Please cast your vote for me, and I will make sure that I do X, Y, and Z for the community. So I took a trip. Mm-hmm. And I took a trip to a website. And the website was created back in 2014. Mm-hmm. And that website belonged to current school board member Melissa Snively, which was the previous past chair. And she served on the finance committee. So we're going to take a field trip back to 2014. So I want you to buckle up your seatbelts and let's get ready for the show. All right, so this is Melissa Snively's website. Now, let me expand this so that you can see more of this, okay? So there we go. Okay. So Melissa Snively had a website when she was running for school board, okay? And so I had the pleasure of going back to 2014 to see what sis put on the internet. Okay, now this is going to set the foundation. So Melissa Snively, okay, I hope that you come on up to the front of the congregation while you out here posting that people are attacking you. No one is attacking you, sweetie. People are telling the truth and people are tired of the foolishness that's carrying on. So if your feelings are hurt by that, I'm so sorry. Maybe if you resign, we wouldn't have to be dealing with this. But anyway, since you're still here, let's look at the website. So 2014. Okay, folks, we're just going to scroll. We're going to take a look here. Okay. About us. I am campaigning for Hillsborough County School Board 2014 and will be honored to serve the students, teachers, and parents, administrators, and community in District 4. Okay, right here. So it talks about her endorsements and how the Tampa Bay Times endorsed her. And she made that post on July 25th, 2014. That was on a good old Friday at 11:22 p.m. Don't you like receipts? Can I please get people like receipts? Don't. Okay. She talks about how she was endorsed by the Tampa Tribune and how she wins the straw poll for the Tampa Chamber. Okay. So she talks about how she's a business owner, a civic leader, running to ensure our schools are safe, well-managed, and student-focused. There's a video here, and unfortunately, I don't think, oh, wait a minute. This might be breaking news. Let me see. Let me try to copy this. Let me see if it was deleted. But it looked promising. It looked like it was gonna come. Oh, oh my God. Y'all, I got the video. Ooh, I'm so glad this live. All right, let's go ahead and share this. Oh, we got a video, y'all. We got a video. You ever seen Blue's Clues? My favorite, one of my favorite cartoons. All right, here we go. Hey, sis.
My name is Melissa Snively, and I'm running to be your next school board member for Hillsborough County. I was raised in Florida and graduated from the University of Florida with a degree in English and education. My wonderful husband, David, and I have been married for 15 years, and we have four children who attend public schools here in Hillsborough County. For the past 12 years, I've owned and operated a successful State Farm insurance agency in the Fishhawk community. I employ seven professionals who serve over 5,000 clients in our area. For the upcoming school board election, you deserve a candidate with a strong business background who is also a dedicated leader in the community and has a vested interest in the Hillsborough County public school system. I am that candidate. Please vote for me, Melissa Snively, August 26th. Together, we can bring education back to the kid.
We just got a video. All right, now, let's go back to the website, though. Okay. All right, so we back on our website from 2014. All right. So I'm running for the Hillsborough County School Board because I want to bring focus back to our students, giving them a chance to experience success, not only in the classroom, but in life, and preparing them to be independent, productive members of society. As a parent of four children in public schools, as well as a business owner with numerous leadership opportunities in the community, I know I could bring that focus to the school board. Now, we go to Melissa Snively agenda that she put on her website in 2014. Okay. Number one, safe and secure schools. Number two, strong financial oversight. Mm-hmm. Number three, career and technical education. And number four, employee achievement. Okay. Now, she has these paragraphs that breaks this down. And just for today's episode, we're going to only focus on two. And we're going to focus on the top two. Okay. So that safe and secure schools and strong financial oversight. This will be the foundation of our broadcast and clap back season. Because it seems as though Melissa forgot. It seems that she forgot what she signed up for. It seems that she forgot what she signed up to do. And now she's creating all of these narratives. She has her husband clapping back in people comments and a whole bunch of social media dramas going on. But let's just pull up the receipts. Sis, this is what you put on your website when you ran for office in 2014. And the opponents that you were running against, one of them, Terry Kemple, is very problematic. This is why I say that people need to pay attention to school board. It is one of the most ignored races when it is the most important in a local community, because this impacts a whole bunch. So 2014, we are now in 2021. So Melissa has been on this board 2014, 2015, 2016, 2017, 2018, 2019, 2020, and 2021. All of these years has gone by. And y'all allow these people to serve office. And then she wants to go run for a different seat, because she served a board for, will be for 8 years. Okay. So I hope that you kind of skimmed through the paragraphs that she wrote for safe and secured schools and financial management, but she calls it in this title, okay, strong financial oversight. Okay. So let's go ahead and just break all of this down with video clips, receipts, and all of that, because it's very clear that Melissa Snively needs to understand that what you cannot do anymore is throw rocks and hide your hands and think that you can be messy and people aren't going to clap back because you made a post and people clap back. Okay. Whew. Melissa. Okay. So when we talk about safe and secure schools, we need to talk about Melissa Snively and her antics at the Hillsborough Emergency Policy Group, where Melissa wasn't being transparent about the safe and secure schools that she said that she was going to advocate for in 2014. So I just want to play a clip of what happened.
On Thursday, if that would be appropriate.
Thank you. That'll be fine. Thank you.
Ms. Snively, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just wanted to respond with regard to some of the comments that were made in the public comment section, but also get back to some of the questions I think Commissioner Overman had for the school district, and this is really to also respond to a recent news article that came out with regard to cases in the school district. And so I met with the superintendent who gave me some additional information with regard to the positive cases. As you might recall, last meeting, the information that I did have was that HCPS programs had been shut down over the summer due to COVID. That is still the case. However, we have had, as of Thursday last week, 206 positive COVID cases reported to us over since March. 201 have been staff members and 5 have been students. Our district does have 235 traditional schools and a number of other sites, several other sites. In fact, we have the most sites of anyone in the county that our employees report to and work over the summer. The majority of cases are from individuals who've come to work sick instead of reporting properly and not following the protocol, unfortunately. In each case, our district employs contact tracing to identify any other employees that may have been exposed to the employee that reported being positive. Our teams disinfect all the areas where affected employees work using approved chemicals and disinfectants to deep clean the area. And as soon as that's finished, workers are allowed to return back to that area once it's been sanitized. This type of cleaning includes anything from one office space to a wing of a building where the individual may have worked. No school has been closed to any positive COVID cases this summer, and in each case, we've communicated with any employee that may have been impacted by that particular positive case. And just to always put things in perspective, and I know I understand. I'm not trying to diminish the number of cases,
Listen.
But I do like to put it in perspective. Since March to now, there have been anywhere from 215,000 students to 25,000 employees. And so not necessarily throughout the summer, there've been a smaller amount of employees and students on certain sites, but thousands of employees still working over the summer. And so although 206 cases sounds like a lot of cases in perspective, it is about the same rate that is currently that Dr. Holt currently talked about per 100,000 in our school district. So that is taken into consideration as the school district continues to evaluate the reopening of schools. The district school board did vote for all three plans, to approve all three plans, which include brick and mortar, e-learning, and virtual school. Based on the feedback that we've received from our parents and our employees, We continue to evaluate that, and we have another meeting scheduled for next week on Thursday, August the 6th, to get some expert feedback and input and opinion from local medical professionals and local public health officials.
We saw how that worked out too.
To monitor the rates of COVID before the board makes a final decision, but we're planning for the most complex plan, which would include all three options. It's easier to plan for all of that and pull back if we have to, rather than having to only plan for two options and then move to three options at the last minute. So that's kind of where we are as a school district, in case that helps with answer some of your constituent questions. And we'll continue to discuss that as a board. We did move the start date of school back from August the 10th to August the 24th. So that was definitely approved by the school board. And like I said, we continue to monitor the COVID situation in consideration for reopening the schools. Thank you for allowing me to give that information to this group.
You are fake news.
Melissa. So we're not going to rehash that. Let's keep this short. Here's a comment right here. Pretty sure every time that she attended those meetings, she voted against the mask mandate. Yes, that is very factual. That's Melissa. That is the safe and strong schools. Safe and secure schools, right? But yet, you know, were we safe and secure with that bomb threat? So I will post the whole YouTube link so that y'all can see it with some important timestamps. There was someone that did a public comment that basically clapped at Melissa Snively, and that's why she felt that she had to go and kind of correct that a little bit in her comment. So that's what she's referencing. And then you can also hear how some of the Board of County Commissioners had pushed back on her because she constantly would try to downplay the virus and would ask about, you know, percentage of positivity rate and all the things that, you know, she's asking, but yet she did not even provide the data that these people have been asking her to provide, and then would tell them false information about what's happening in the district. So, okay. So that solves that. Now, strong financial oversight. Okay. Well, as you know, we're broke. The cards are maxed out and we have bad credit. I want to go back to July in 2020, where Melissa had this to say.
As Ms. Stewart, betrayal is the first word that comes to my mind. I feel like a liar.
You are.
Because we promised the taxpayers and the public that we would be fiduciaries, responsible fiduciaries and stewards of their dollars. And I know that we could not have anticipated the pandemic and some of the mandates and things that have caused us to shift things around and with fingers crossed and prayers that we're going to be replenished at some point, because that's basically what it sounds like. Someone made a miscalculation and thought we were going to get money coming back to our school district to replenish our funds, but that didn't happen. And now here we are. And I sat in front of Standard & Poor's and Moody and Fitch and told them that our school board was committed to bolstering and protecting our fund balance. And the person who's not here now, sitting next to me, really basically had me hoodwinked. And I was angry at Fitch when they came back with a downgrade and frustrated. But guess what, Kevin? You were right. He was really angry when you went to see him. He came in with a red face when we saw him and we calmed him. We took him off the ledge, but now I understand why Fitch downgraded us. There are so many consequences that come with this that we could probably spend in the entire evening talking about the ripple effects that this is going to have on our school district. However, I know that there are things that are out of our control as well. And we have a new superintendent who is committed and dedicated to make sure that this doesn't happen. We can't run a business or an operation like this. And you know that. But you can't run a business on crossing your fingers and hoping that you're going to spend a little here, but get it back over here. Normal businesses can't operate like that. And neither can we, because it's not our money. And that's probably the one thing that I hope that you understand.
Moving forward, understand, sis.
It's not our money.
So she's talking about how it is not their money, and she is absolutely correct. But she's saying how these other people need to understand and basically put the blame on Jeff. Jeff said it wasn't me. Y'all can go look. He issued a whole letter and statement and said that I wish y'all grace because it wasn't me. Now, Melissa Snively is saying how we can't spend money, but yet I go back to her website where she promises financial management and her agenda is having strong financial oversight. So maybe we need to define what that is. Okay, Google, define financial oversight.
On the website lawhelp.org, they say, financial oversight encompasses an array of responsibilities from establishing the CEO's compensation to approving the annual budget to assessing whether the organization should diversify its income stream.
Thank you. Thank you, Isare. Thank you. Now, the board approves where money is spent. So those agenda items that they had, and they were rubber stamping everything and saying approve, 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 and not following the money. The board has a duty, and that is to manage the $3.3 billion budget. We can't forget that. Okay? So this has been years of corruption, years of mismanagement. And yes, we totally understand that we are underfunded. There is stuff that's happening in Tallahassee that is way beyond the foolishness in Hillsborough. But when you add mismanagement and corruption, it completely makes the situation worse. We are projecting $100 million deficit. That is a lot of money. Okay. So this wasn't the only person, the only school board member that has talked about our budget. And still to this day, she is running her mouth on social media talking about the current school board member that's currently in the seat, Shate Washington. And I just find it interesting how Tammy is out here posting and talking about representation in District 5. And hey, look, everyone is entitled to their opinion. But the fiasco and the financial disaster that we're in is due to the board and due to the mismanagement and them approving everything and not following the money and alerting folks of what's happening so that we can be proactive. Instead of being reactive, where now we are tearing families apart due to the mismanagement. So Let's play what Tammy had to say, because she has so much to say and people have been clapping back on the internet. Watch this.
Schamburger.
Thank you so much, Madam Chair. So let me just simply say this, disrespectful at its finest. It's amazing that here we are again repeating history. I'm not going to belabor or beat the dead horse. Member Stewart and Dr. Hahn has really said it all eloquently, but this absolutely has to change. This is precisely the reason I have requested a workshop, and I really want this board to really consider seriously about putting a pause on everything as much as we possibly can until we get this under control. It makes absolutely no sense that this board is in this position. Again, you know, when we talk about the bargaining team, the negotiations, let me just remind you how hard of a time that was. It's that behavior is the reason teachers were forced to go a year without a pay raise. It was agonizing for this board. We had sleepless nights. It was tough. And here we are repeating that same behavior. So it's disappointing to say the least, but certainly is disrespectful. But let me just move on and ask you, Ms. Saunders. So we know that our fund balance now is just woefully low. The lowest has been, I think, since I've been on the board. But we know come October, November is when we really see a dip in our fund balance so we can use that funds to continue the operations of the district. Now with the $50 million deficit, I mean, what's going to happen in October, November? How are we going to pay our staff? How are we going to continue to run this district with a big chunk of our money now gone?
Thank you, Ms. Schamburger. What we'll have to do, and we've already been looking at it in the prior couple of years because our revenues were coming in later and later, a tax anticipation note. So we will have to issue a tax anticipation note to come to bring us through, especially November, and then you repay that back within 60 days.
But just elaborate on that a little bit more, would you please, Ms. Saunders? How does this affect the community? How does this affect even our debt or the district? Is there no penalty for this tax anticipation note?
No, ma'am. I'm sorry. No, there isn't. It's just a short-term loan issued until your tax, and that's what it's based on. The tax revenue is coming in. So the whole loan is pledged on the taxes, the property taxes coming in or the state revenue coming in, which, like I've said before, we're, you know, we get most of our money from state, but then as November comes back, we start receiving our property taxes. So that's what comes in at the end. But with this, we've already been talking to Jerry Ford about doing the tax anticipation. We talked to the rating agencies about it already too, because we knew our numbers were coming close. I'm sure it's a short-term loan. Yes, you're right.
Short-term loan. Okay. Mr. Superintendent, you know, we certainly rely on you to right this ship once again. I really hope that this is the last time we'll have to have this type of conversation. We brought you in from the outside so that you can make the right decisions. So we're relying on you for that. But I think it's critical that you keep this board informed. I don't like just learning about this today. We have to have very intentional and consistent conversations about the status of our financial health. So let's talk about that, Member Snively, Madam Chair, if you don't mind, about what that really looks like, whether it's we have more finance committee meetings, or if we're having more workshops, or if we're dedicating more time at the school board meetings. But when we talk about the one thing that we do as a board, the seven of us, is making sure that the financial health of this district is intact. And so here we are again, compromised. So I certainly want to see more focus and conversation about this. Thank you again for allowing me to put on our request, and you'll host that workshop, Member Snively. Thank you.
Sis served on the Finance Committee with Melissa Snively. So, I mean, they should have been having high level conversations following the money anyway. So I don't understand it, y'all. I don't. Like, it's just really blowing me. So, okay. So then I was like, I wonder what Tammy campaign promise was, and what did she put on her website when she ran for office? So, buckle up. All right. So this is Tammy's website. This is a screen grab from 2016, October 2016 to be exact. So this is her website. And so this is what she puts. My name is Tamara Schamberger, and I'm committed to fostering an environment of growth, transparency, and results in the Hillsborough County Public School System. Which, those results, by the way, 111 schools actually declined a letter grade. Yeah. Okay. As your representative, I will play an active role in making District 5 a high-performing, results-based district, focusing on providing a quality education for all students, enabling each student to become a successful, productive, and responsible citizen. Now, does that sound pretty familiar from what I read earlier? Okay. As your school board member, I will commit myself to effective leadership, ensuring fiscal responsibility, high academic achievement for all children. And then you see the rest of it. And then donate today and some links that doesn't work. What I also found interesting was that she talked about big news. And so I clicked on it to figure out, well, what was the big news? Well, let this load up here so y'all can actually see it. Give it a moment because it's going back to 2016. So it takes a little minute. Okay. So she posts about how she was recommended by the Tampa Bay Times. Now, if you can recall, this is the same Tampa Bay Times that she said was racist and the same Tampa Bay Times that she slandered and said all types of things when she wasn't endorsed because Sheik was endorsed. But I just want you to see the big news that was on her website so y'all could see that. The reason why sis is brought up in the situation is because, again, I go back to these people. Follow the money. Okay? Okay. All right. So, Melissa, you have your campaigns and you had all of this stuff out here and yet... did you do anything to help our district? You did. You helped a lot. But when it came to our finances, you definitely didn't follow the money. You didn't. So, okay. Whew. So after doing all this research, I was like, you know what? Like, I'm just fed up. Okay. And so my camera battery is about to die anytime now, and my webcam is not set up appropriately, so I can't do a switch. So what I will do is compile the rest of this information for y'all so that y'all can go back and see the rest of these highlights. The corruption is here. The spotlight is here. And I hope that y'all are paying attention. These are the people that said that they were going to run for office. And these were the people that said that they were going to be responsible for this budget and to have strong fiscal responsibility. So I go back to those folks, hold them accountable. Because they decided to run for office and they also served on the finance committee. Clap back. Y'all have a good day. Thank y'all so much for tuning in to Morning Teen Allegations. If you want to become a patron, there's my link. I'll put it in the description. And of course, I love y'all. People lie, receipts don't. Thank you.
We just keep my name about your mouth. And mind your business.